sollte es in das Gang. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to learn at your feet again today. Thank you because you have planned to visit everyone. And Lord, I pray today that no one returns back the same way. Grant everyone an encounter of a lifetime. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. The topic remains, how to never fail again, unveiling the three-dimensional fail-proof success system of the kingdom. Last week, we were able to learn about the first dimension of the fail-proof success system of the kingdom, which is wisdom. And we also were able to understand what success is as met expectations. When your expectations are met, that is success. And failure is when expectations are not met or delayed results. And then we were able to understand that the reasons why people fail include lack of wisdom, lack of proper preparation, and then misfortune, which is lack of favor, and also demonic operations, unforeseen circumstances, lack of mentorship, missing times and seasons, wrong step at the right time or vice versa, and then mistakes, that's wrong step. When somebody takes a wrong step unintentionally, it will still lead to failure. And then we understood system as a system or group of interacting or interrelated elements that act according to a set of rules to form a unified whole. And then we understood different parts of wisdom. Like, wisdom is not just discernment, like some people will wrongly describe it or incorrectly describe it. It's correct, but it's not totally correct. So wisdom is not just discernment. Wisdom is not doing what is right alone, but it's a combination of knowing what to do, which is discernment, and then doing it. So that's complete definition of wisdom. And then we're able to understand the different things that make up for wisdom, how we can actually grow in wisdom, which requires knowledge and all the other things we mentioned last week. So today, our goal is on the second dimension of the success system of the kingdom. Our scripture is also still Luke 2:52, where the Bible says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with both God and men." That's the scripture we read last week. So we're going to start with a question today. Did you know that Jesus did not fail in anything? I want you to just think about it for a moment. Jesus did not fail in any area of life. In ministry, he succeeded like wonderfully. Human relationships, did you know that as busy as Jesus was, he was still able to maintain good relationship with his family, his parents? At least we know of his mom. Jesus was able to overcome temptations. He did not fail when it comes to temptations. These are all the things we face in life. Temptations come our way, and many times we fail. But Jesus did not fail even in the face of temptation. Financially, Jesus did not fail. Jesus did not beg. And there was no time Jesus was borrowing money to eat or to do anything. He was completely in command and in charge. That's the kind of Jesus we have. Emotionally, Jesus was stable and strong. He even cried. He was emotionally balanced and stable. Intellectually, Jesus was talking to one of the highest realms of intellectual people with high intellectual prowess. In fact, we normally refer to lawyers as the learned people. That means they have learned a lot of things. They know how to compare things with things, this with this. They will say, if this is this, so this is this. They are very logical people. They are very intelligent people. And Jesus was flooring them every single time. They bring something to him, he says something, and they have nothing else to say. He was always intelligently answering them. Jesus was successful intellectually. He was super successful. And guess what the Bible says? It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind was in Christ? The Bible says, Jesus, who was in the form of God, did not think it robbery to be equal with God. But in all things, and then that scripture continues, That's the mind of Christ, the mind of humility, the mind of intelligence, the mind of success, the mind of breakthroughs. Jesus was in command at every situation. They were in the wilderness. That was a situation that you can say that, okay, now you are at your wit's end. There is nothing else to do when you wanted to feed 5,000 people and there was nothing to give them. Yet Jesus was able to escape that no solution situation. Jesus had what to do. He knew what to do. He only asked a simple question. Do we have any food here? And then he did something and was able to feed 5,000 people. That's the kind of Jesus you and I serve. Jesus was successful in every area. So if the Bible is telling us to pattern our lives like Jesus, in fact, to become his ambassadors, that means our lives can also reflect a fail-proof success system of the kingdom. Then I know somebody will say something like, are you saying we can't make mistakes? Are you saying we just keep succeeding like that? Yes. Of course, there are times that maybe you make mistakes because you don't have perfect knowledge yet. But that doesn't mean you have failed. The person who has failed is the person who has given up. The person who has refused to try. The person who has refused to employ all the knowledge he has already. All the information he has. He has refused to apply them in the right way. That's the person who has failed. Not the person who has made a mistake. But because you made a mistake doesn't mean you have the result, no. It only means you have learned what not to do the next time. So, Jesus has a fail-proof system. There is something Jesus did that brought him to the realm of success. And we are learning all these things. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, it says, these are the things we should meditate on. Remember, he said we should have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says we should have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? The Bible tells us what to meditate on. He said, whatever is true, truth is what we should meditate on. Noble ideas, just acts, or what is right. He said, these are the things we should first think about. If your thinking is wrong, if my thinking is wrong, then I will act in a wrong way. And then, pure, things that are pure, purity, like we mentioned last week, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Anybody who doesn't walk in purity is first and foremost not wise. So purity is there. Then loveliness, whatever things are lovely, good things, wonderful things, lovely things. He said these are the things we should think about. These are the ideas we should put in our head. That means if you are beginning to think about things that are not lovely, you should know that is not of God. You cast it out. Then things that are of good reports. Whatever you are thinking about, can you actually tell everybody about it? Or if you go ahead to act on that thing you are thinking about, will it bring a good report? What kind of news will it make? Will it be the wrong trending news or the good trending news? Then virtue, power, then praiseworthy things. Things that when you are done with it, everybody will say, wow, this is wonderful. They will not only praise you, but they will praise your God and begin to ask you, what is this? How did you achieve it? And you say, God, you say, oh, wow, we want to praise God with you. Praiseworthy things. God is saying, these are the things we should fill our minds with. These are the things we should store in our hearts. So what is the Bible's perspective on success? Remember, what we are learning today is the second dimension of the fail-proof success system of the kingdom. But before we talk about these things, we need to have the right perspective of what success is. Success is a sign that God is with someone or interested in an endeavor. Success is a sign that God is with you and I. The truth is this. Despite the fact that you can't use the fact that somebody is full of success to mean that God is with a person, that is not a proof. But it's also a proof that God is with someone. If God is truly with someone, the person will have success in his life. That's why Gideon said, if God is with us, why are all these things befalling us? Why are all these negative things happening to us? That is what he's saying. Because he knew that if God were to be with somebody, then defeat will be a thing of the past. And that is true. So if God is with you and I, it doesn't mean you won't be tried, but eventually you will be a success all through, and you will still see the hand of God in it. Success is a sign that God is with someone or interested in what you are doing. If you are doing something over and over again and it's failing, and you can't even see any iota of success in it, maybe you've seen a level of success and it's not the kind of success you want to see, it's still different. But no iota of success whatsoever, trying over and over again, you want to ask God, is this what you actually want me to do? Because if God has a hand in it, then it will definitely succeed. Then what is the Bible's perspective on success? God wants his children to succeed. The Bible says, meditate on the scriptures. He said, meditate on it in the morning, in the night. This scripture shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. He said, what? When you do all these things, you will have good success. So God wants us to succeed. And where does he want us to succeed? Spiritually, mentally, financially, emotionally, socially, politically. God wants us to succeed in all these areas of life. What is the Bible's perspective on success? It is not an approval of God's presence. Like I said earlier, success proves that God is with you. But because you are succeeding, does not mean God is with you. So what am I saying in essence? If God is with you, you will succeed. But because you have success in one area, does not mean God is there. In fact, God may just be giving that person success because he wants to honor his name, not because of the person. For example, have you not heard about pastors who are fornicating, committing adultery here and there, and the power of God is still moving through them? God already left them. But God is keeping his name in that ministry because that was his call in the first place. But it doesn't mean that God is with that pastor, so to say. So you and I, it's also time to check our lives. Because you have success does not mean we are in the center of the will of God. It is a proof that God is in that endeavor. It's a proof that God is with you. But sometimes, it's not enough. The proof that God is with you is the joy of the Holy Ghost in your heart and in my heart. And therefore, what is this second dimension of the fail-proof success system of the kingdom? What is this second dimension? It is growing in stature. If you read Luke chapter 2 verse 40, it talks about the first things that happened to Jesus. That was before Jesus went to engage the leaders, the lawyers in the Bible and was asking them questions and all that. This is before then. The Bible said the child grew and became strong in spirit. He grew. He became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He became strong in spirit. That's talking about spiritual growth. He was filled with spiritual things. He was communing with God. He was growing in that area of life. And then, because of the fear of God that was growing in and in the spirit, the wisdom of God started manifesting in his life. That's why at 12 years old, he was able to debate with those people and talk with them and ask them questions. It takes intelligence to ask questions. He was asking them questions. He was answering them. And they were wondering, what kind of child is this? So he was filled with wisdom. And the Bible said, the grace of God was upon him. That's talking about divine enablement. Let me explain grace here. Go and pick a trumpet up. If you never learned how to blow the trumpet, you will blow it and nothing will come out of it. I've tried it before. Because there's a particular way to blow the trumpet. It has to be learned. There's what we call grace. So when somebody who is in grace to play the trumpet is playing it, it will look so simple. You want to take it and play it, and then you blow it and nothing comes out of it. No sound, nothing. And that's when you know that, okay, there is a grace that has come upon that person. That's what grace is. Grace is what makes you do something. And everybody sees it so easy to do. And they try it and they see that, no, I don't know how to do this. That is grace. Grace is divine enablement. That was upon Jesus. But what happened? There was this silence upon his life. Silence. He was still talking to the lawyers, talking to them with all wisdom. He was full of wisdom, but still no expression, so to say, until he waited and grew in stature for those 30 years. Or let me say now, 30 minus 12. So for those 20-something years, Jesus was growing in stature. So what is this growth in stature? What does it represent for you and I today? Naturally, we'll say this is growth physically. But what does that mean? It means that Jesus was taking some personal responsibilities to grow. Now, there are three things in these dimensions. Number one is wisdom. Number two is stature. Number three is favor with God and man. When it comes to wisdom, you can't give yourself wisdom. You can do the things that will bring wisdom to you, but you can't give yourself wisdom. God will give you wisdom eventually when you begin to fear him. God will give me wisdom when I begin to fear him. But when it comes to stature, that is the only part that is almost entirely your responsibility and my responsibility. For example, God will not just open my head and put mathematics there. I will go and read what has been written in books. I will subject myself to teachers, whether I like them or I hate them, to teach me what math is all about, what psychology is all about. My parents will teach me emotional things. They will teach me how to handle different things. Most of us learn this from our parents or whoever our guardian was when we were growing up. They are the ones that showed you how to behave in certain circumstances, and that's why many of us are still behaving like that today. We learned it from our parents. We learned with the people we grew up with. Some people talk angrily because that's how they talk in their family. Some people talk gently and they are cool to a fault, and you're like, why is this guy so cool like this? Maybe that's how I grew up. So we learn all these things by being subjected to, number one, the responsibilities we take ourselves. And then number two, how we subject ourselves to mentorship. This determines our stature. So that means if I refuse to go to school, I only went to primary school, that is where my intellectual knowledge, so to say, will stay. But if I decide to go ahead, go to college or secondary school, and then proceed to university, I'm building up my intellectual knowledge over and over again. Now, let's say after university, I stop reading. I will just stop where I used to be. In fact, it will begin to decline. Then I start reading books. Then I may go ahead, maybe master's or whatever after that. But learning, this aspect of life keeps growing and growing. That is what growth in stature means. This also includes physical growth. I begin to eat right, take care of myself, my health, physically, keeping myself healthy. God will not come down to come and wear the right clothes for me. This is part of stature. This is part of the responsibility that you and I take. The first one, yes, you fear God, then God will release wisdom to you. The same thing he did for Solomon. Solomon showed some honor to God and God released wisdom to him. But when it comes to stature, it is your responsibility. It is my responsibility. And this affects success a lot. This also is the part of diligence. That means, for example, if I want to have success in any area of life and I don't apply diligence, God will not apply diligence for you and I. It is my responsibility to make sure I'm diligent in what I'm doing, to make sure I'm faithful in what I'm doing. That is the path of stature. It is my responsibility. It is a step I have to take. If I want to engage in any endeavor, just like we talked about in the previous episode, in business, it is my responsibility to study my competition. It is my responsibility to study those who have had success in that area. God will not do it for me. God will show me a great vision of where he's taking me to. God will empower me with the strength to do it. But it is still my responsibility to go ahead, to be diligent, to get the necessary knowledge I need to get in this area of life. It is. So for the most part, wisdom is not even what most believers lack. Even though, yes, we may still lack wisdom. The wisdom of knowing what to do, God will release that. When we fear him, he will begin to show you discernment. You know the difference between right and wrong, even between right and good. Because not everything good is right. So for you to know the difference between good and right is still wisdom. So once you pass that stage, and how does that wisdom come? From your growth in the fear of the Lord, from your growth in spirit, then God releases grace upon you and I. And then this part is more important, stature. Stature. The people of the world, they grow a lot in stature. However, most believers shy away from this part, which is very important. So you and I need to take that responsibility. So for the most part, for the believer, it is not a lack of wisdom most times. You know what to do. In fact, you want to do it, but you have not grown enough capacity intellectually, or maybe health-wise, in discipline, in diligence, in faithfulness, all these other things. It is totally our responsibility. The Holy Spirit makes it easier for us, and that's the grace part. He makes it easier for us because he enables us to be able to do all these things. But even though he enables you and I, we still have to take that step to do it. So what is diligence? Diligence means that you are where you should be at the right time, doing it the right way should be done. You are diligent in it, reading the way you should read, working the way you should work. Maybe a client has given you a task to do, or your boss in your place of work, doing it the right way. That's diligence. But the Holy Spirit will not take your hand to do it. The Holy Spirit will not take my hand to do it. He will empower me. It will even remind me of what to do, but I can decide not to do it. That's stature. Jesus subjected himself to his parents, learning carpentry, doing it with his parents. That's why they said, is that not the carpenter? Because in those days, most people do the trades of their parents. The father would say, hey, Jesus, come here. Bring that wood. You go and bring it. He was learning all these things. And that is why Jesus was able to wake up in the morning to go and pray. Wake up at night to go and pray. Stay on his job, working every moment, diligent in it. This part is a very essential part of success. So if I have wisdom and I'm favored by God, I'm favored by men, and I don't have this stature part, the success eventually, even if you have any form of success, it will begin to dwindle. It will begin to go down the drain. Why? Because eventually, let's say you got favor from men. Let's say you got a letter from the president and you are able to access a position that naturally you wouldn't have been able to access. Now imagine, you are not faithful. You are not diligent. Even it will come to a time that the person who helped you to get there, who you got favor with to get there, they will be tired. They will not be able to help you again. Because they will say, see, I helped you. I helped you get this position. It's not up to you to do what it takes to keep the position. So it's time for you and I to even start by prayer. God, where am I missing it in stature? Where am I missing it in diligence? Where am I missing it in doing my work well? Like we learned in the business part, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility, if you're a business person, to make sure you treat your clients right. God will bring clients your way, but you and I can use our anger, our character to chase them away. God can bring husband or wife your way or my way, but I can use my character to spoil it or scatter it. It is my responsibility to make sure I make things work as the Holy Spirit empowers me to do it. So when we look at it, Jesus Christ released the same Holy Spirit to all the disciples. In fact, Jesus physically breathed upon the disciples and the apostles, and then they left. And the Holy Spirit came upon them with tongues of fire upon them. However, each person decided what to do with the power of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. Peter did some things, James and John did some things, but most of the other disciples, did we hear about them? Nothing. However, Paul came behind the scene. He was not even there with Jesus physically. Jesus did not breathe upon him physically. Jesus did not, give him power to go and, heal all manner of diseases and sicknesses. However, this Paul, because of this stature part, he excelled more than the rest of them. And that is why Paul was able to write like more than 2/3 of the New Testament. He engaged more of the stature part of success. This three-dimensional success system, this second part, he engaged more of it more than others. He said, I labored more abundantly, more than they all. So that means, even though they all received the same Holy Spirit, they all received the same grace and empowerment. However, Paul did the extra thing. He read books. He took steps. He was looking for every opportunity to preach the gospel. So he excelled more than all of the rest. So the same thing with you and I. That we studied in the same school does not mean that we are going to have the same level of success. In fact, I don't think it's ever happened that because all of them finished from Harvard, then they had the same level of success. Do you know how many people finished from Harvard that maybe they are even homeless now? They can't even undo life again. Emotionally, they can't handle it. In different areas, they can't handle it. And yet, somebody did not even go to school, and yet he still succeeded. So it's about this stature part for most parts. Next week, we'll be talking about the favor with God and favor with men part, which can actually make the journey of life so seamless and easy. You may have wisdom. If somebody lacks favor with God and men, the person will still be struggling. And that's why the Bible told us the story of that man. He said there was a city, a small village, and like a city came to place a siege upon that village. And he said there was a wise poor man in that city. And he gave them the wisdom, and they were able to escape that situation. And yet, he said that man was forgotten. Why? He only had wisdom. Probably, there was no stature. He was not engaging with the wisdom he had. In fact, like we said last week, wisdom can begin to turn to foolishness. See Solomon, for example. Solomon, full of wisdom, he ended up entangled with 1,000 women, 700 wives, 300 concubines. That wisdom began to turn to foolishness, if you may say that. Because if it was really wise indeed, do you know what it even takes to manage one woman? and yet somebody entangled himself with 1,000 women. And that is why he ended up building shrines for gods that are not alive. Instead of building more temples for God, building more things for God, doing more things for the kingdom, stature may be gone. Wisdom was there, grace was there, but stature, where we're supposed to sit down and sit with God, and where we're supposed to keep growing in the spirit, he relaxed. And yet, the devil started filling him with other things. So, you and I, this is a, maybe I should say clarion call for you and I, to make sure that we do whatever it takes for us to keep growing in stature, to keep growing and doing what is right per time. God will keep releasing wisdom. His path never fails. God will keep releasing grace. His path never fails. If you do the right things we'll be talking about next week, God will keep letting you have favor with God and men. However, if we don't take care of this stature part, we may become stranded in life. God may have shown you and I a glorious destiny, but we may miss out on it because we will not do what it takes. And this stature part also includes the part of prayer, the part of going to church, but the part of fellowshipping with other believers. If we miss out on it, then other things will just begin to halt and halt. You will see a glorious future like this, but the person will be struggling to get there. Why? Because the stature part is missing. The prayer part is missing. It is a responsibility. God does not pray for anybody. You have to pray. God does not read the Bible for anybody. You have to read the Bible. God does not do diligence for you. No, you and I have to do it. So I pray today that even as we step out in faith to begin to do what is required from you and I, to take our own part of the responsibility of the fail-proof success system of the kingdom, I pray that the grace is released to you and I to do what is right at the right time. In Jesus' name, amen. We've come to the end of the episode today. I know today is kind of hard and odd, so I just want to encourage us once again to make sure, just after this episode, take 1 minute, 2 minutes, write down, what are the things I need to do to get where I'm going? If wisdom is not the problem, if favor with God and men is not the problem, what are the things that are my own responsibilities? For a good marriage, for a good business, for a good career, what are the things I should do? What have I not been doing before that I should start doing? What have I been doing before that I stopped doing that I should start or restart doing? It's time for us to just reflect on that. Do that, and you see that this success thing is cheap. If Jesus could succeed and not fail in anything, that's what we started with. That Jesus did not fail in anything. Check, you can read your Bible. Maybe if you know it, you can let me know. That Jesus failed in one thing. There was nothing that he failed at. But he succeeded in every single thing he did. So that means you and I can succeed also. Because we have been made in his own image. He said, let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mentality, he's saying, I have the same mentality with Christ. The mentality of success. The possibility mentality. The possibility of a winner. The possibility of a successful person. The possibility of a righteous person. You don't think sin, you think righteousness and begin to walk in it. You don't think failure, you think success and begin to prove it. And I pray that as we step out this week, God himself will prove in your life and in my life. This new week, September is the month of deliveries. It symbolizes delivery. I pray that all those things that have been hanging in your life or around my life, we begin to have those successes in the name of Jesus. Whatever has been delayed thus far, they are broken and destroyed in the name of Jesus. And I pray that as you come next week, you will surely have your own testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Please invite someone next week, and also happy to have you here today. God bless you. Thank you for showing up, and God bless you indeed, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. See you next week. And be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. The good success has come.